We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
11 o'clock, hour number two. I am Ron, the show Hughley. That there is my partner, Joshua Lamont Vernier. Steve Serta is producing this bad boy. We are in on a red Friday. Get you ready for Chiefs Ravens. Remember, you are listening to the longest running, fastest growing midday sports show in all of Kansas City radio. Show and Vern is presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Remember, coming up in about 28 minutes, the editor-in-chief, not a part of the show, just someone who joins us as a guest.
Right.
Peter Sweeney will be joining us here for the half hour from 11:30 to noon, so be ready for that coming up.
Yeah, Pete Sweeney, Pistol Pete, in studio at 11:30.
As a guest. He is not a part of the show.
Pete Sweeney, I will give him this.
A little help there, Vern, is struggling down there. Yeah. Hamburger, cheeseburger, lettuce, and tomato. Come on, you got it?
Sweeney does do a nice job of asking the good questions during press conferences.
Okay. He asks questions.
Ron, you hear some of these damn questions. Did you hear how many times the dirt was brought up last week before they played in Oakland? Pete wasn't asking about the dirt. Pete did bring up Bashaud Breeland to Steve Spagnuolo, though, yesterday.
What have I learned? I've learned that the guy loves a challenge. What we did last week was challenge him to cover 16. I don't know if you noticed, but we moved him around on him, and I thought him and C-Dub had a great game. I mean, I showed five specific clips on Tuesday morning.
Because we're not going to start calling him Breezy, and then Charvarius Ward is not about to go as C-Dub.
C-Dub.
Put your damn hands down right now.
It sounds like they already do.
Throw it up.
It sounds like that's what they are already called.
No one call him that. Charvarius, the man who wishes to be great so bad, is now getting C-Dub. This is what we have here.
C-Dub is Chris Webber.
I bet when Spags calls him that, he gives him the bones.
All day.
Somebody out there named Curtis Williams is also C-Dub, who is throwing fight up right now. You're not calling that man Charvarius. He's already got a fun name. Just let him have Charvarius Ward. But listen, he said a lot there, though. Outside of calling Bashaud Breeland Breezy and Charvarius Ward C-Dub, he said a lot to a point where, Vern, I think you asked me earlier this week. Now, come on, Ron. What have the Chiefs shown you to make you feel confident that they are going to get this done? They're going to bring in a corner. Listen, him speaking right there makes me feel it makes me feel 100% confident that the Chiefs are going to go get a lead corner.
100%.
99%
okay,
confident.
Come on, man. At least taking it back a little bit.
99% confident that the Chiefs are going to go out and get a lead corner.
I bet you I can get you down to 85 by the end of the segment.
You won't. 99. Got me at 97% confident. That's what I'm stopping. 96% confident that 96 right there. 96% confident the Chiefs will go get a lead corner. Listen to him, man. We've agreed, Vern, that he has a major voice, if not the top voice, I think, defensively upon players. I think we all talked about this. We think a big reason why they went and got Frank and chose Frank, in my opinion, over Chris Jones is because of the feeling that he thought about those two players. I think he has a loud, loud voice on that team. I think he wanted Tyrann Mathieu in a major way. He loves safeties in his defense. Brian Dawkins, Landon Collins he had in New York. He loves safeties. I think he wanted him. He's got a big voice in terms of personnel defensively. When he goes out and says, and he said it, he wanted to make sure you knew it. He said, I don't know if you noticed that, but we had Bashaud Breeland following the Raiders' number one receiver, Tyrell Williams. We had him following him. That shows to me that's something that he wants to have the ability to do in his defense. And right now, all right, you could do it with Tyrell Williams. And to be honest, if you all watch that game, Derek Carr, missed some throws, probably had a touchdown, and he missed in the first drive to Williams where he got away from Breeland. There was some separation there between Williams and Breeland. Breeland played him pretty well throughout the game, only gave up 50-something yards. But you know, if that's something that he wants to do, to have a corner follow a lead receiver, well, he doesn't have that personnel when it comes to the real teams. He doesn't have that personnel when they play Houston to follow Hopkins. Not many do, but he damn sure don't. Somebody said yesterday that Bashaud Breeland runs a 4.6. Good hell. I did not know corners were still running 4.6s. He doesn't have that against the Packers when they play the Packers and they play Davante Adams. He does not have a lead corner. When I hear that,
and that's why?
That makes me feel.
That's why you're, where are you at now? 90?
96. I said 96% sure. He came out and said, this is something that I want to do. You know he can't do it against the great teams.
I appreciate where your mind's
at. Oh, he's throwing it out there. He's throwing it out. Stop it. It's better than Morris Claiborne. He's throwing it out there. This is something I want to do with my defense. I want to have the ability to have a corner that can follow a team's top receiver. He does not have that with great teams when they have great receivers right now.
But you're exposing your own belief as incorrect, because you mentioned that Tyrell Williams is not a number one.
Right? No, he's a two.
Yeah, he is a number two. So Spags says that Bashaud Breeland is good enough to follow a number two all around. Right? When you face a number one, when you face who'd you use? D-Hop. When you face Hopkins from the Texans, you're going to have to double team him. That's all it is. Bashaud Breeland's good enough to shut down a number two. You can follow them around when their best wide receiver is a number two. But when we face Antonio Brown, when we face DeAndre Hopkins, we're going to have to double team them.
But Spags' mind does not necessarily mean that he feels like he has to do that all the time. I've watched Jacksonville play Houston, and Ramsey will just cover him
one-on-one.
Okay, but
you don't have those guys. And just because
you don't have
them
right now. I think he's putting it out there.
96%,
Ron? I'm 96% sure now.
96.
I think he's putting it out there that,
bring that down.
I want to be able to run my defense to where I can have a corner to follow a team's top receiver.
Well, of course he wants that.
He wants to
be
able to do that.
He wants
put it
that.
Out there. He said, I don't know if you noticed it. Now, I know I can't do this when they play the Texans. I know
sure.
I can't do this when they play the Packers.
Right, but
let's
when
go
we're
get
taking
somebody.
On a team that their best wide receiver is this kind of a player, yeah, we can send Breeland along for the ride.
Yeah,
to that's me, not difficult
he's screaming,
to do.
Let's go get me somebody where I can do this.
Well, I hope where he's I screaming that.
That's
no, hey, I hope
I
he is.
I am 96% sure.
Ron, I hope that he goes to Andy Reid and says, we have to do this. But Andy still has, A, the final say, and just because you want it doesn't mean you're getting it. I'm sure he wants a lot of things. I'm sure he would love a better middle linebacker. I'm sure he would love two new cornerbacks. You can want all you want, but what you
yeah,
have
but you know
is
this
what
is
you have.
The, but you know this is in the cards. Now, if you look at all the evidence, they've cleared up money to try to make this happen. We understand the glaring need. Every time we hear corners available, they are, by every source, they are right in it. Like, that move right there to me, that decision he made screams, this is something I want to incorporate in my defense. I don't have the players to do it right now, but go get it for me.
We'll give you the last word, 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. From the text line in the 816, guys quit hating on Charvarius's nickname. You guys have a nickname in my book, and it's A-holes.
And you listen to us, a-holes,
Ron,
so congratulations
okay.
on you being an a-hole lover.
Yeah!
What was
guys,
that?
Guys,
good
guys.
Hell, man. What in the hell was that? Yeah!
Ron, let me ask you a question.
Hamburger, cheeseburger, lettuce, and tomato!
What was going on in your life last night between 7:45 and like 8:05? That 20-minute span, where were you mentally?
I was stuck for some reason watching the Paley Awards saluting The Good Place.
The Paley Awards?
Yeah, they were saluting the Good Place. It was on CBS. It was.
So Ted, were you angry that Ted you were
Danson?
Watching it?
No, I was just watching it.
Did you just get into a disagreement with your wife?
No. Why?
There was something going on with you where you were, as the texter correctly points out, an a-hole.
No, I wasn't. And I wasn't hungry, if that's what you're thinking.
That was actually my next question. Dinner was a little late last night, wasn't it?
They had swim lessons, so yeah. Okay. But that doesn't mean
did you eat after 8:05?
No.
Was dinner after 8:05?
No.
Because last night, if you follow Ron on Twitter, at Ronnie H. Show, you saw the kind of carnage that he was bringing to many people's
carnage.
Lives.
Let's get this right. It's also R-O-N-N-I-E.
What did you do? So, I wasn't on Twitter last night.
First of all, at 7:45 last night, he sees a picture of Eric Fisher. Eric Fisher, who just underwent surgery. A nice picture of Fish giving the thumbs up.
I saw that this morning.
Ron quote tweeted that and said, "Get well soon, buddy." Serta. He called Eric Fisher his buddy.
What's wrong with that?
Shove it up your tailpipe, man. That is bogus.
What?
And you know
get
that's
well
bogus.
Soon, buddy.
All you do is dump on that dude. Don't call him your buddy.
I don't just dump on him. I just speak honestly about what I see from him.
Last positive thing you've had about Fish. Stop it.
Get well soon, buddy.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Just last night.
And then. Yeah.
I said he's better than Cam Irving.
That sounds like you're just being condescending to a guy who's going through a hard time.
I'm not.
How about this, Serta? Less than 20 minutes later, he's still apparently either hungry or arguing or hating the television that he's watching.
On fat jokes now?
In less than 20 minutes, he replies to my fiance, who sent out this heartfelt tweet about her, you know, love for me and our relationship and how much free time we have now that I'm no longer covering the Royals. Ron replied to her with a simple, "You're welcome." As if Ron is the reason why her and I have this love and all of this time together.
Vern, listen, we don't have to put it out here. Everyone knows it. I'm the clear leader of this team and of this group. And I chose you. So, yes, you're welcome. I mean, I love you guys. And you make me better. All right? I chose you for a reason because I knew you'd challenge me and make me better. But let's not get it twisted. You don't have to do 1 a.m. swinging for the fences because of me.
What'd you guys end up having for dinner?
Serta's not working at that paper place anymore, obviously, because of me. So, that's not true.
I got this job before you did.
Okay, whatever. I mean, I was just saying, he's not pushing paper anymore. And, you know, hey. What a Cody
20-minute span. You take out Eric Fisher. You give Eric Fisher a middle finger. Then you give me and my soon-to-be bride
a middle finger. I didn't give you all
the
middle finger. I swear to God. It was a hug.
Hang on. Let me be real for a second.
What time did Cody say he got out of here?
I would have lied my way into this job with or without you.
2:15.
Let me be real. For those that don't know, my ceremony next week for my wedding, the first person that's going to speak is going to be Ron. He's going to stand up and tell everybody, hey, don't use your cell phones. I swear to God, if this comes up, I swear to God, if this comes up, if you make this about yourself, like that you made this holy matrimony about to go down, if you make this about yourself, I will stab you with something.
I will stab you
with a knife.
Are you eating better since you stopped working?
This segment of Show and Burn.
I'm just saying.
Let me get to the sponsor.
Did you stop smoking cigarettes?
That's not because of you. That's because of her.
Okay. All right, man. I'm just saying, dude. I love you, and I was happy to be able to do my part to help that happen, and a huge part.
Shut up.
It was.
This segment of Show and Vern presented by Mazarese Jewelry, 4 generations of distinctive jewelry located in Leawood.
Now, I may ruin it. I may get us fired. I may get us kicked off this air, and we may lose this job, but I did get you off of that tough gig.
Shut up. Here's Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, talking about the challenge of Lamar Jackson.
I think he has, 7 pass touchdowns, no interceptions. So, you know, like I said, he's coming into his own, you know, as a quarterback. I think defensively, you know, we got to challenge him. Challenge his wide receivers. They're not a really big group. They can run, but they're not really big. So I think it's important for us to challenge them at the line of scrimmage and just force him to throw the ball over our heads.
That's a little sly and slick, and you got to really listen to that. But I think Chiefs fans should be really excited when you hear Tyrann Mathieu say this. This is something that I feel like I haven't heard or think we'll try to see as a game plan from a Chiefs defense in a long time. What that screamed, what that said to me, Vern, is that the Chiefs are going to try to be really physical defensively with the Ravens. They're not really big. They're going to try to get up and be really physical with guys like Hollywood Brown, hit these guys. I would be surprised. You talked about this last week. I wouldn't be surprised to send a message, them maybe getting some penalties for hits after or a little bit more action after, because I think they're coming into it. And hearing Mathieu there say, we're going to be physical today. We're going to be, because they know they're playing against a physical team in the Ravens, that they're going to try to bring it. And they've got some guys. I think Tyrann Mathieu is more physical. I think their linebackers are a little bit more physical. We've seen that. But that Wilson kid will come and bring the thunder. That's going to be something. Now, hell, Vern, I'm going to say this right now. I don't know if it's going to work. But this used to be a defense that was so bend and don't break. They were reactionary, more defensive fighters, punch back and react. This group, it sounds like, just listening to Mathieu, they are going to try to come after them and bring the physicality towards the Ravens. And I think you should be excited, because I haven't seen a Chiefs defense act like this since hell of the 90s, it feels
and
like.
Here we go again. Again, I'm going to be patient with the defense, but I will point out, here we go again, conflating the words, or at least building up the words of Tyrann Mathieu, just like we have throughout the offseason of Frank Clark. Man, say whatever you want, Honey Badger. Just don't be outplayed by Earl Thomas. Don't disappear out there. Again, I'm not going to crush you if you do disappear. I'm going to be patient. But these people will turn against you. They're already turning against Frank, and it's for things like that. Because you can stand up at a podium and sound
talk
like, I got this together. I'm in control. And he did that throughout his press conference yesterday. Spoke about where they need to improve.
They
got to
get better. Saying all the right stuff.
Charvarius needs to do that. Yeah, he says all the right things, but eventually you got to deliver out there on the field.
As I said, you heard me. I said, now, I don't know if it's going to work.
Right.
I'm just talking about the emphasis and the thought of, let's bring it to them. Let's be physical to them. We know we're playing a physical team. Let's come at them.
Let's hear what Spags had to say about Lamar Jackson.
He can wreck the football game with his feet, and I think he's becoming a real good drop-back passer. We always knew he had a strong arm. I listened to things, and, you know, you're researching, and everything says that he worked tremendously hard in the offseason to get better as a drop-back passer, and I think you're seeing that. They came out in the game against Arizona, and he moved him right down. He ran it a couple of times, but they threw the ball down there and got him in. So he's impressive.
He really is. I cannot wait for this matchup when the Chiefs blow them out. As you heard, show stamp of approval. The Chiefs will win by more than 6 points coming up Sunday. We're going to get to 6-7 here. Let's go, Pat. Newsflash. No show curse.
Newsflash. So even if you get this right, the show curse, or excuse me, the show stamp of approval is still below 500.
Feeling really good about my Chargers thoughts. Feeling real good about my Chargers thoughts. Okay. Think someone just got hurt for the Chargers again.
It's still whatever the Oakland Raiders.
Hey, man, what's
Raiders
the newsflash, man? Let's go, man. What's the newsflash? Just because your teeth look good today don't mean you got to come out here and just try to take over.
My teeth always look good.
No, I don't know.
Water pick every night before bed.
I don't know. That looks like you made a switch from Crest to Colgate.
That's impressive.
Every single night.
Good for you. So you believe
his
food.
I take care of my teeth.
You believe him. You felt like when he fell down.
His teeth do look really good.
When he fell down them stairs.
I go to the dentist all the time.
When he fell down them stairs and ran into that wall, he was able to get to it that night.
Yes, I had already done that.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah. You always do it right when I get home.
Your birthday, did you pull it off that night? That night when you were stumbling, rumbling, bumbling?
No.
You don't black out and then go, oh, before I go to bed, let me water pick my teeth.
Sometimes. I can't have sex, but I tell you, I'll get this pick going with my teeth.
The NFL has placed a league-wide prohibition on all field flame effects and pyrotechnic devices at league and club levels, including games, while it's reviewing the fire that happened this past weekend at Nissan Stadium. So that means the Chiefs will not be allowed to do their pyrotechnics when they enter the field for Sunday's home
opener. Damn! That changes it.
Oh,
what? Can I take that show stamp? I'm just playing, man. I'm feeling real good about this.
They really don't, huh?
So they don't get to do the fire that comes up the flames?
No team in the NFL will be allowed to do it, at least this weekend.
Okay, so it could come back.
Yeah, they said it's just while they're investigating what happened at Nissan Stadium. So, I mean, I'm sure it's
Nashville.
The Titans, so someone was negligent there because we know they're a terrible organization.
Is it just because you lost?
They're ruining it for everybody else.
He's right, though. They are ruining it for everyone else. That sucks.
They're not negligent, though.
But that sucks. I really enjoy the pyro.
All right, I know. God, it sucks. You really laid that thick.
Oh, that's a big deal, Ron. I think you are not making a big enough deal about that. People are going to be outraged. That's going to be all over
Twitter.
Be
outraged. That yellow
Twitter is going to be a buzz.
The yellow end zone is going to get everyone hornified, no matter what.
I kind of like
that. And the drum is still there, so they're fine.
The yellow end zone does look pretty dope. I don't know why they don't do
stalling that. Stalling here, or are you gonna move to the next one?
I thought we were still talking about the pyrotechnics in the yellow end zone. Tom Brady has now decided to use his Twitter account to do what every other mere mortal does, complain about football games. Took to Twitter last night to trash the Titans game, as he should, because they're garbage. But he was giving out his opinion, saying, I'm turning off this game. I can't watch these ridiculous penalties anymore.
I don't think he was trashing the Titans. I think it was more the officials.
Too many penalties. Just let us play.
Let us play. Let us play. Let us play. Serta, do you know what movie that is? No. Oh, God.
Oh, I don't either. I was just going along for the ride.
You don't know what that is? Let them play. Let them play.
I mean, you don't
let
need to do
them
it.
Play.
No, you
that's how that old man was doing it.
We
let
still don't
them
know.
Play.
You don't remember that?
Please tell me. I'm not. Protein
we can
House,
move on.
Eat with the Purpose. Text line 69306.
I'm not
tell these
to break
idiots
until
what.
You
tell oh, God, I used to watch that when I found
you
that.
You don't know what it is.
I do know what it is.
No, you don't.
I do know what
break
it is.
Until you tell
Walter Matthau was the coach in the first one, but he wasn't in this
Bad
one.
Bad News Bears.
Come on. Let them play. Let them play.
The
you
one
don't
with
remember
Billy
that?
Bob Thornton? When they I never saw that.
No, it wasn't Maybe with Billy Bob Thornton. They were in the Astrodome.
Wasn't he in the remake then?
I think so.
Let them play.
I never saw either one.
All right, coming up, we're going to be joined by, remember, folks, a guest. He is not a part of this damn show. A guest. Also, someone I'm not 100% sure that has not kissed Serta on the lips. Arrowhead Pride's editor-in-chief, Peter Sweeney, coming up next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Back to Show and Vern. 25 straight minutes of sports entertainment starts now.
Pete's going to make me punch right in the face. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. He is not a part of this show, just a contributor in this aspect. Pete is with us for the next half hour, each and every Friday at this time. No sponsor. Pete Sweeney is with us. Can you behave yourself, Pete?
Sure.
And first off, man, you know he's getting married next week. You got to come in and take one for the team and not look as good as you do today.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mess up your hair a little bit.
Can't help you with that.
Wear a hat.
I am excited for the wedding. I was talking to Jay about it the other night. Jay was asking me if
Pete, I ain't got to
Vern and Katie will last over or under 9.5 years. And I, of course, went the over. Jay wanted to take the under.
Why was that even discussed? Who even brought... Did you bring that up, Pete?
This
you
was
seem
Bink.
Like the sick...
This was Bink. He wanted to talk about it.
He brought up who is...
At Big Whiskey's. At Big Whiskey's in front of everybody.
You know what? I don't even mind Binkley bringing it up.
You don't?
I have a bigger issue with you narking on him.
What do you mean?
You came here to bring this up.
I supported you.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Listen. You know I can't stand Pete. You have a bigger issue with Pete bringing that up than Jay coming on... Binkley coming on the air... to Kansas City and telling them I don't think it'll last over 10 years? Listen,
yeah,
I would have...
Binkley. Binkley's a goofball. No, listen, he's joking around.
I'd have a guy code... I'd pull Pete to the side with a little guy code conversation and say, hey, man, you know, let him find out himself. But he's not the big culprit here. The big one is Binkley.
Yeah, I disagree. Binkley's just putting on an entertaining show. He's just trying to make people laugh. I got no problem with that. In fact, I expect that from Jay Binkley. The fact that Sweeney was so eager to stab him in the back 2 minutes into a segment on this show says more about Pete than it does Bink.
I'm a big supporter of Vady. I mean, the It Couple. And listen, I hope it lasts more than 10 years. I told Bink that.
Wait, did you just call us Vady?
Yeah, the
It
Couple.
That's Vernon Katie?
It Couple in Kansas City.
Okay.
What do you want, Kern?
Can we talk Chiefs here? What are we doing?
I'd rather Kern. Protein House, Eat With a Purpose, text line 69306. Would you rather Vady as the It Couple, Vern and his beautiful bride-to-be, Katie, or Kern, which is Katie?
Like either one
Vern.
Of them. They both sound...
No, you text it in. Protein House, Eat With a Purpose, text line 69306. Kern. You all want this, idiot Pete.
Hashtag these are Team Vady.
This is what Pete's bringing. Team,
I like Kern.
I'm Kern, basically, obviously, or Team Vady.
But just Vern and Katie.
Nope.
Vady or Kern? Protein Ounce, Eat With a Purpose, text line 693.
Pete, are you heartbroken that there's not going to be the pyrotechnics at this game coming up on Sunday? Because I am.
I think it's lame. I'm actually, I don't really get juiced up about this stuff. The field looks great. The field looks great, and it deserves to have the typical Arrowhead Stadium pyro, and so the Titans doing it again. First, they pay the refs. Mariota throws a pass to himself, and now they've ruined one of the better traditions at Arrowhead. So thank you,
sort
Tennessee
picked
Titans.
Sort of picked the Titans in Survivor.
Yikes.
Sure did. Got panicked.
I really picked the Raiders. He picked the Titans yesterday.
You bullied me into it. I really picked the Raiders. That's who I was going for.
The rest of the Show and Vern family over here, the three of us, we picked the Dallas Cowboys. So you should have went in that direction.
I gotta be honest, you're pretty good at the feel of what kind of game it's going to be. I personally don't think it's going to be close. I think that the Chiefs, even without Tyreek Hill, are a really bad matchup for the Ravens, because I am not sold in seeing what the Ravens will look like trailing. I'm not sold with them being down by two scores in a game and then making Lamar have to beat you throwing the football. I've put the show's stamp of approval, which is at 5-7 currently. I put the show's stamp of approval, which you can mark it down with a bullet, that the Chiefs are going to win this game by more than a touchdown. I don't think it's going to be that close. What's your feel for the game? Because you were almost score on the money with the Jacksonville game.
I think the Chiefs win by two scores. I was a little bit worried last game with the way that the Oakland Raiders looked, and they actually came out firing, and you had a really bad feeling. I said on the Arrowhead Pride postgame show that it gave you the jitters a little bit, I think, the first quarter, even though you have Patrick Mahomes, because of that history of being a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And I think there's some part of that where you kind of expect the worst. You're like, oh, here we go again. And then you just got that really nice reminder that you have the best quarterback in the National Football League, and it's by far. It's Patrick Mahomes, and it's a steep drop to whoever you want to put at number
He's
two, whether that be
way,
Tom
right
Brady, Lamar Jackson, whoever it is. And I said to myself, I'm like, you know what? Let's be honest here. I understand the Ravens are good. I understand they're hot. They won 2-0. Lamar Jackson's playing really well. Some say he's even throwing better than Patrick Mahomes. There is no way that they come into Arrowhead Stadium and beat this offense. And, you know, I say offense because I think the defense will give up some points in the first quarter. But you saw some promising things from Steve Spagnuolo, being able to make adjustments. You get into the second quarter and you blank him for the rest of the game. And not to say that they'll do that against Baltimore, but yeah, it might be a little bit shootout feel, I think, for the first quarter, maybe into the second quarter. But I think by the third quarter, Andy Reid makes those adjustments. And now that you don't have Bob Sutton, so the Spags and the Chiefs run away in the second half.
See, I think there's an understandable reason why people like the Ravens. The Ravens are a good football team, and the Chiefs are struggling with injury issues. We don't know who's going to be playing in the backfield. Obviously, their most dynamic player in Tyreek Hill is out. And then their left tackle, Eric Fisher, is out. Now, listen, here's my thought about Fisher. I think Fisher is an average left tackle. Like, to me, I don't see, especially Andy Reid, the way he is able to scheme offensive line help, even if they're struggling issues or struggling parts. He's able to scheme things so they don't come up as an issue, as a problem to ruin offensive plays. Like, do you have major concern with Cam Irving being in besides Eric Fisher? Because I don't.
I feel better about him now that he knows he's going to play. I mean, I think he probably knew there was a chance last game, but when he checked into the game after three plays, he just was not ready. So I feel a lot better where he's gotten the reps this week. I don't feel great about it. I'd rather it be Eric Fisher. I think we've overlooked Fisher's value because I just don't think there are 32 really good left tackles in the National Football League. And so, yeah, I mean, it's worrisome. I think there's going to be a game, and I don't know when it's going to be, where the pass is not going to get done for one reason or another, and you're going to have that run game. I'm interested in seeing this combination of Shady and what will be Darwin Thompson, in my estimation. I think this will be your first look at Darwin. And if McCoy gets in the game and gets the first touches and he ain't doing it, and then all of a sudden Darwin gets in and he's running better than any of the running backs, you wonder how the Chiefs act moving forward, even when Williams returns.
Do you really think that it will present itself that we need to run the ball kind of game?
Because... Maybe against New England. Okay. Maybe against New England.
I heard Andy in his press conference earlier this week say, well, you know, you just got to figure out what to do. We're not going to force the issue as far as establishing the run. You just... game in and game out, figure out what they're giving you and what is working. I just don't see a way in which the run is the thing that's working when you have Pat in the pocket or out of the pocket, three different levels of throws. I just feel like Pat's always going to find something that works.
The way that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are playing, and you should start to feel comfortable in this Kansas City, the Chiefs are Alabama, and... New England is your Clemson, or if you want to reverse it, whatever. And you're waiting for that game. Like, this Ravens game should be interesting, at least at the beginning. Lamar Jackson is going to make some dazzling plays. I don't doubt that. But I feel comfortable. You don't have to worry about anybody except New England. And that's why this whole year is about preparing for Week 14 and then eventually the AFC title game. And I say that every week. And I finally said to myself, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, I'm not going to make myself look stupid by worrying about any team anymore. Like, Patrick Mahomes is playing that good. I get it's the Raiders. DeMarcus Robinson had 172 yards. If that's the type of offense you're working with, you don't have to worry about any other team except the New England Patriots.
See, I'm with you, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. With Lamar, the only way that I can even make myself see this happening is, one, Pat not playing a great game. Like a Jacksonville type of game that he played last year where, you know, the one game he didn't throw any touchdown pass and he had some turnovers. And Lamar being special. I know you watch football and you've watched Lamar. And Vern, we've talked about this. I don't know if I'm 100% sure yet that Lamar has that special tendency or talent in him. I think there are some players. I think when Carson Wentz is healthy, I think he does. I think Deshaun Watson has that. Lamar has been dominant. Hell, his numbers are as good or better than Pat in some categories to start the season. I just don't know if he has that special quality. If he does have that, then you could see there is a way with the injuries of the Chiefs that they can make the thing close or even pull it out and win it. But I just am not confident that he has that.
See, I think Baltimore has found their franchise quarterback. I don't exactly know where to place him yet, but he's definitely in that category where that's taken care of, which is, as you know, in Kansas City, half the battle. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have nothing.
Did you feel that way prior to these first two games?
I did last year. Okay. I mean, he was playing really well at the end of regular season. These two games, what it proved to me is that he can really throw the football, which I think was lacking last year, and I think everybody kind of felt the same way. And now that he has that two parts to his game, I consider him a franchise quarterback. I was asked on Baltimore radio this week, would you take Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Hunt? Lamar Jackson.
I take Pat.
Yeah, and you take Pat. And one of the things I pointed to was
Over Lamar Hunt.
Lamar Jackson. One of the things you point to is I think Pat has a little bit better of a awareness of how to stay healthy. Not that Lamar Jackson has taken any hits yet, but the game that he plays, especially against the Cardinals last week, where he felt like he had to run, he's going to get clocked eventually. We've seen it too many times with, you know, RG3, who happens to be on the Ravens, and Colin Kaepernick before of all the off-the-field stuff. I don't think he puts himself in a position to stay healthy long-term.
Yeah, when you say franchise quarterback, Pat's franchise quarterback is like 12 to 15 years. It feels like Lamar's franchise quarterback is 6 to 8.
Yeah, I was about to say 5 to 8. 5 to 8, so.
Protein Ozzy with a purpose, text line 69306. Listener 001, did Ron lose a bet? He sure is being nice to Pete.
Well, Ron and I are friends. I mean, we went out Serta's birthday.
Not friends, you were just there.
You and I shared some stories.
Pete, this game on Sunday to me is about the Chiefs' defense. To me, the Chiefs' defense is the story going in. I'm not saying you're going to be able to make some grand assumptions about the rest of the season, depending on what they do, But I look at this game on Sunday as kind of one of those pride games where last year, every time a team did something successful in the first quarter, they were able to do it in the second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. They never needed to adjust because the defense, as Andy would say, never put their foot down and said, all right, that's enough. I feel like that game presents itself on Sunday where they're going to run the ball. Can you find that heart, find that pride, and punch them back in the mouth?
Yeah, I mean, and it's the confidence you can build against Ingram and Jackson. You know, I look at the rest of the schedule. There really is another team that scares you at all, I think, until the New England Patriots with how everyone is playing early on this season. So if you can get some confidence in this defense, especially in the run game, especially with containing Lamar Jackson, setting the edge is going to be so key in this game. You know, I think you can look ahead the rest of the season and say, okay, I feel good about this defense. And then they have until week 14 to develop and get ready for the New England Patriots, who I don't know if they'll be with Antonio Brown, but they have Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman and some of those weapons.
See, we talked about this week, earlier this week, about this being a defensive game. And I said, my eye is really going to be on the coaching staff because the Ravens are going to put the Chiefs in a lot of situations where they have to, strategy-wise, really come up with a game plan, not just before the game, but in the middle of the game, very similar to what they did. They had to adjust against the Raiders by maybe pushing their corners up, bumping run coverage. I feel like this is a big, big game for the coaching staff and how they're going to attack the Ravens, because the Ravens are the most unique offense in the National Football League with what they do with their quarterback running the ball and how they get guys so wide open because he's able to run the ball. This, to me, may be a game that really pushes forward what is the biggest story in Kansas City right now, and that is the Jalen Ramsey cornerback thing.
Right.
Because this could be a game where you're like, all right, we need that shutdown corner to be able to play defense the way they want to, because you're going to see the way they run the ball, they're going to have a lot of guys up at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and that guy, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown for them, he's real fast.
He could be an issue.
And Breland was following around Tyrell Williams last game, and I thought he did a pretty good job. I can't anticipate that amount of success against Hollywood Brown unless he has help, because the speed. I mean, he profiles similar to a Tyreek Hill type. Nobody, I've said this before, nobody is as fast as Tyreek Hill, but the amount of speed is just, I think, going to be too much for Breland, so you hope that Brown doesn't have a good game. If they have, like I said, if they can somehow find ways to curb what the running game does between the quarterback and the running back, Mark Andrews is another weapon. He kind of looks like similar to that Travis Kelce type and then Hollywood Brown.
Well, he's been nice.
If you have success against this offense and hold them, and I'm talking maybe hold them to 21 or even 24 because you know Pat's going to get above 30, you'll be good to go.
Ron, I want you to bring up what – Bashaud Breland following Tyrell Williams, what that said to you. I'm interested in Pete's response.
No, I just think that decision that he made with that said a lot to me, Pete. It said, okay, well, this is a way that I want to be able to run my defense. I want to be able to have the luxury of taking my best corner and following their best receiver, because it allows me to do a lot of things. Blitz, it allows me to be able to send Kendall Fuller on slot blitzes, which he got a sack there and added pressure. I think that screamed to me, a guy who I believe has a big voice in defensive personnel says, it makes me believe 96, 95% sure that the Chiefs are going to go out and make a deal for a lead corner because he wants to run his defense that way. And I don't think against the good receivers, not just Antonio Brown, I'm talking Houston, Green Bay, their lead receivers, I don't think he has the personnel to do that. It made me more confident that they are going to get this done. Maybe not Ramsey, but somebody.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tyrell Williams, he really looked good on Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos and then came in and got welcomed to Bashaud Island a little bit.
He was kicking Bashaud Island in the first quarter. But yes,
46 yards. I mean, he did get the touchdown, but, you know, held to 5 receptions on 7 targets. You know, not tremendous like win dominate, but good enough. And that's the thing with the Chiefs defense, and they wouldn't tell you this because they're trying to be a dominant force themselves, but at the same time, if they just do enough, Pat's gonna take care of you. Pat's taking care of everybody. You don't really need to hold the other team to 17 points, 21, 24, even 28 probably gets it done because Patrick Mahomes is that damn good.
You're still workshopping that though, right?
What's that?
Bashaud Island. That can't really be the finished product.
I mean, who knows at this point? If you can shut down Hollywood
like,
Brown.
Yeah, I feel like you got a better name in you. I feel like you'll have something better
I just
next
want you
week.
To stop.
What do you mean?
Just stop. You did that on
Ron,
the fly.
Ron, what's worse? What's worse?
C-Dub. C-Dub's right. worse than that.
C-Dub, Breezy, or Bashaud
Island. Now, Breezy's better than this.
Shut down by Bashaud Island featuring C-Dub.
B&B.
Breezy Breland. We got... Josh, you and I have put together some good shows when Ron's been out, P&V, as you know.
What are you doing, man?
God, he put his name ahead of yours. Wow.
He sure did.
Wow.
Listener
He's got
20.
35 years in the business. You put your name ahead of his?
I did talk to Steve, too.
Good hell.
Hey, we are going to shift the power hour to Tuesdays, didn't you say that, Steve?
We're not shifting anything. You,
I mean, we're going to do it as many times a week as we want.
You will not. Pete, you have made it clear that the power hour... You want to know what was so great? Yesterday, nobody even remembered the power hour.
It didn't even come up.
12:30 came up yesterday. No one texted or tweeted or anything.
Kathy, 59
And I think a lot of it is because, obviously, you're probably the leader of the power hour.
Sure.
Serta's just more of a follower.
In the ranks of this show, too.
He's more of a follower. You're probably the leader of the power hour, and you don't care about it.
Clearly.
You have clearly said to yourself, other things are more important to me than this power hour.
If I come,
so I'm never
if I come on Thursdays for the power hour, who's going to go and ask Spags if he wants to shut down Coleman?
Like I said, whatever it means, that is more important to you than the power hour.
Listen, the Pete train is leaving the station. You either hop on or you get it left there.
Protein I mean? House, eat with a purpose.
Good hell, man. Why does your voice have to trail off like Andy?
Protein House, eat with a purpose. Text line 69306. Listener 35, Peter Sweeney is a great porn name.
Before we get out, Pete, I do want to push this one because I feel like me and you have been together on this one. I called in and really took the post game show to another level last week.
You did.
And we were in concert with this.
I did drop the call.
We were in concert with this. And is this a week that you're looking at, Frank? Is this a week that you're looking at Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu?
you'll enjoy this point that I was thinking about on the way over. Brett Veach has a problem on his hands because through two games, Chris Jones is outplaying Frank Clark.
He's the best player on this defense. It's not
he's
close.
Locked into Clark, and he's locked into Clark, and he's almost in a situation because of the Pat contract and figuring those things out where he's going to have to trade Chris Jones. Unless, there's this grand unless, Chris Jones just plays his way into having to stay here and being that important. He had a great game last game. He was wreaking havoc.
Well, you think he can do that? He can't.
I don't know.
Brett
Veach has backed himself in the corner. Luckily, that's after the Super Bowl in 2020. And then hopefully if he wins the Super Bowl, he'll get some leeway on what's a tough decision now. But yeah,
Pete,
it's not good.
You know this league. If he plays himself into a way where he is so important,
right.
What's that mean contract-wise?
Well,
that means
D4,
more than Frank White.
I thought D Ford did that last year, and he's gone.
But that means more than Frank. You can't. But you're going to have somebody on the defensive line again making more than Frank from the inside. He's going to get more than that.
It's always tough because, as Therese Paylor always says, man, the contract year is undefeated. So you give someone that money, you don't really know how they're going to respond. So far through two games, Frank's been all right. He's been good in the run game, but he hasn't been that dominant force that you paid for, whereas Chris Jones looks really good.
Bill Moss was so perplexed at Frank Clark's performance that he wondered aloud if he's banged up.
He had the wrist. I mean, he said he looked like he was avoiding contact. That's what Bill
he Moss looks said. Like a little lost and it's just not what you paid for so far, and you hope that he turns it around. I have the confidence that he will. One of the things he said last week was, you know, these sacks come in bunches. Not that you're always looking for sacks, you don't necessarily need those, but at the same time you just hope that Clark plays a little bit better.
Like I'm not as surprised about Chris Jones, but I'm still surprised that we would sit here and say, okay, across the defensive line, Chris Jones has far and away outplayed Frank Clark, and I think you could argue in the secondary that Bashaud Breland has outplayed Tyrann Mathieu in the secondary, and I'm really surprised by those two outcomes.
Again, not trying to make excuses here, but Tyrann Mathieu sort of entered the season with this shoulder thing. You'd think maybe that as that gets better, he'll play a little bit better. I was watching him heading into the season in practice making one-handed catches because he really couldn't use it. You know, probably a little bit under the radar. That being said, I mean, you paid these two guys to lead your defense, and they don't look like leaders so far.
From the text
leaders
line.
On the field.
On the field, yeah. On the field, yes.
Text line here, listener 20. Pete, great job on the postgame show last week. The best part was when you hung up on show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. More of that.
That's fine. I hung up first, actually.
It really was. Great pregame.
Thank you.
Great postgame. I haven't listened to a pre- or postgame show when it comes to the Chiefs in years. That's fantastic radio. You guys do a great job.
I mean, it's coming from the GOAT of the Royals pre and post, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yep.
Listener number 13, I picked Pete in the Survivor pool. Keep it up, crushing.
Let me tell you something about Survivor pools. All right.
We got to get out of here.
Follow the Dolphins. All right. Follow the Dolphins with me all year long. That's what I'll be
doing. I'm Cowboys as well. We're all Cowboys except for Serta. He picked the Titans. Giddy
up.
They lost last night.
Giddy up to us.
I picked the Raiders.
No, you didn't.
You didn't. Thanks, Pete. It's over.
If you see Steve and I at the art fair tonight.
Bye.
Right, Steve, you going to the art fair?
Oh, so you want people. So Pete wants everyone to know where he is.
Great time.
All right, Serta, you're the producer. We know we got to go to break. Stop talking.
All right, Steve. I'll see you later, buddy.
All right. Bob Sutton took all the bullets for this defense last year, and to be honest, it's for good reason. Him and Emmett Thomas deserved everything they got last year. They were that bad. But there was one thing that wasn't their fault, in my opinion. And I think this is something that potentially could be an issue on Sunday if they don't rectify it now. That's next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.